During the Lenten season, our parish theme is Conqueror, being overcomers with Christ. And overcome could have two senses, essentially. One, you think of the phrase being overcome with emotion. Something has taken over you. In the other sense, it is to overcome a challenge or a difficulty, being victorious. And that is the sense in which I am talking about throughout this series. You look on the website and on our bulletin board here and social media, the symbol of the cross with palm. And the palm branches symbolize victory. And we experience that victory through the passion, the death of the Lord on the cross, and his resurrection. So that's why you see the red cross there. For human beings have been overcome by the temptations of the devil, and it caused devastating consequences. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, the eternal Son of God, sharing in our humanity and all things but sin, to win a victory for us so that we can overcome sin, division, and death, not only at the moment of our death, but as we live now. Lent is an English word that comes from an old English word, which means the springtime. So this season is a time for growing. Whether we give up something or take up something, and I do encourage you to take up something during Lent, the aim is to cooperate with the gracious love and mercy of God to grow, to mature as his beloved disciples. We certainly, if we're working on a bad habit, we certainly don't want to say on Easter Monday, well, Lent's over, I can resume that bad habit. And in terms of whatever good habit we have worked on, we certainly don't want to say, well, it's Easter Monday, Lent's over, don't want to work on that anymore. So this is a time for growth, and Lent is a season of 40 days, which began on Ash Wednesday, and it commemorates the 40 days that the Lord Jesus spent in the desert to prepare for his ministry. And this was after his baptism in the Jordan River. His cousin, St. John the Baptist, offered a baptism of repentance with water only to prepare people for the coming of the Christ or the Messiah. However, when Jesus comes to be baptized by his cousin, he shows that he is uniquely chosen by God to heal humanity's wounds of sin, division, and death. After he was baptized, the heavens opened. The Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove, and God the Father declared, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." In the sacrament of holy baptism, Jesus baptizes us with water and the Holy Spirit. We are beneficiaries of his saving power. We prayed during the collect or the opening prayer of Holy Mass today that we may understand deeply the benefits or the riches that come from being a disciple of Christ within his church. We live to give praise to God through our thoughts, words, and actions. We are beloved children of God in whom God is well pleased. And this is our identity in Christ, and it is why we can be overcomers with Christ. We are beloved children in whom God is well pleased. But the inclination to sin remains because we have free will. We are created in the image and likeness of God. And we can be subjected to temptation because we have this free will. God is always faithful. We can be fickle at times. Temptation is an invitation to sin. And when one is tempted only, that is not a matter for the sacrament of penance and reconciliation. Temptation is only an invitation to sin. It is not sin. However, we do not want to put ourselves in what we traditionally say are the occasions of sin. We don't want to put ourselves in situations in which would weaken our resistance to temptation. If we accept what temptation invites us to do, then we are responsible for sinning. And that is a matter for the sacrament of penance and reconciliation or confession. Now, Jesus, of course, never sinned. But he was truly tempted by the devil. And in the gospel reading, Jesus teaches us to be overcomers of temptation with him. Temptation does not have to intimidate us into thinking that once the invitation to sin has been extended, failure is soon to follow. With Christ, we engage in spiritual resistance training to strengthen our wills to do what is right. God has given us the inclination to be faithful. Jesus is tempted by the devil three times. Jesus does not engage with the devil about whether what the devil offers has any merit. And he does not need to prove his identity to the devil. Each temptation begins with the phrase, "If you are the Son of God, then you will do what I have asked you to do." Jesus is secure in his identity because he has unshakable confidence in the unbreakable bond of life and love that he shares with God his Father. Therefore, he was not going to satisfy a legitimate need to address his hunger in a dishonest way. Of course, Jesus was hungry when he resisted that temptation. And the fasting he endured for 40 days was not one large meal, one main meal, and then two smaller meals sufficient to maintain strength. It was no liquid and no food. Yet God trusted that his Father would provide for his needs. Whenever we act in a way that is contrary to how God wants to provide for us, we are being dishonest with ourselves because we are lying about who we think we are. The truth is that we belong to God. We are his beloved children. He will provide for us in his time. If we think that we can find satisfaction apart from God, the result will leave us feeling empty always. And so, when we're tempted, Jesus teaches us to remember the love that God has for us, to remember who God is and who we are in relationship to God. When the temptation comes, we don't want to start, considering it and all. No, God, I love you. God, I praise you. God, I know that you're with me. God, I know that you will help me as I cooperate with you. We spend time talking to God, not talking with the devil, if you will, considering the temptation that is being given. God provides many graces that causes us to rejoice in his steadfast love. Another strategy that the Lord employs is to use the word of God as God has revealed it. It's important to be familiar with the word of God. And if the word of God has no place in your life apart from what you hear during Sunday Holy Mass, then I invite you to take up something during Lent that will help you to prepare to do for life, to become familiar with the word of the Lord, particularly through the Gospels, because that will give us information about how to live freely as beloved disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will strengthen us against temptation. What role does reading and reflecting on the Word of God have in your life and my life? Does scrolling through social media have preeminence over that? Does engaging in gossip have preeminence over that? Does knowing what the different sports teams do have preeminence over that? Are you able to quote the lyrics of your favorite music, but can't quote one word of scripture? The Lord says it's time to grow. It's time not to be distracted by so many things, but to focus on the main thing, which then will help us as we approach every aspect of our lives. The Word of God gives us lessons that will lead to everlasting life. And therefore, we give it the importance that is due. But it's important to receive the Word of God as God has revealed it. And it's important to be familiar with the Word of God. But we do so in union with the church. That's how God has revealed the scriptures to us. The Bible did not drop out of the sky. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, the community of the church put together the gospels and the letters in the New Testament and affirming what's in the Old Testament as something that can be truly inspired by God to lead us to everlasting life. We need to do that from the proper perspective. Why? Even the devil can quote scripture. And that's what he did in the second temptation. The devil took Jesus up to the top of the temple. And the devil said, if you are the Son of God, I want you to jump off of this temple. Because guess what? I can quote scripture too, Jesus. The psalm says that if you're in danger, God will send his angels to keep charge over all your ways. So even the devil can quote scripture, but beloved disciples are called to quote scripture, but then live according to it. Strive to integrate it into their lives. That will help us in the time of temptation. Jesus is showing how to overcome. People get frustrated because they sin to do the same thing over and over again. And how can I overcome it? Well, over and over again, we need to do what Jesus did when he confronted temptation. And so, if we're tempted, we need to remember what the Word of God says. If necessary, we need to open up the scriptures. We could even look at the scriptures on our devices. Fill our minds up with that. Not going down certain highways on the internet. But fill our minds with that, asking God to help us to do what's right, asking God to remind us who God is, who we are, what God asks us to do, and to trust that it is a good direction. How did the first human beings get messed up? They questioned whether God could be trusted. They question God's intentions for giving the directions. They toyed with the devil's temptation. They got into a debate with the devil and allowed the devil to cause questions in their minds. Did God really say that? Maybe he really didn't mean what he said. Maybe I have an exemption from what he said. And if we are seduced by such thoughts, it will lead us to a devastation that God has never intended for us to endure. We are called to be overcomers with Christ. And so, no, I don't say to err is to be human. Yes, human beings make mistakes. But according to Jesus, human beings also learn from their mistakes. They get stronger so they don't make those same mistakes over and over and over again. And so, we need to continue to follow the teaching and example of Christ. And it is not going to be easy at times, particularly when the Lord's teaching and example corrects us. But if it leads us to everlasting life, what are we afraid of? To conform our lives to what Jesus has to say, even if the results are not immediate. We know he's leading us in the right direction. And so we have the patience to apply that teaching in our lives. It takes time for things to grow. It takes time for us to grow. We have to have the patience to undergo that process. Finally, the devil tempts Jesus by offering something that the devil does not have power to give. He told Jesus, if you just fall prostrate, meaning on the ground, flat on the ground, if you give yourself wholeheartedly to me, I'll give you all these things that the devil really didn't own. The world belongs to God. God created the world and the world is good. Of course, the world has been wounded by the original sin of disobedience because the devil was jealous and wanted people to join in his rebellion against God. But through the passion, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil is already defeated, just as Jesus defeated the devil in these temptations. We should not give the devil a whole lot of credit. Yes, I believe that the devil exists. It's not some medieval imaginary thing. Evil exists. Jesus said there was a devil. That's enough for me. That's not fundamentalism. I'm just following the teaching and example of Christ. And just as the devil wanted to attempt to distract Jesus from fulfilling his mission, he's going to try to do the same out of pride to distract us, even though he's already defeated by the Lord. And so we have a choice, as we heard in the second reading. Do we walk in obedience or do we walk in disobedience? Because through the obedience of Jesus, we have been justified. The word justification was used, meaning we have been brought back into a right relationship with God and through that relationship with one another. What path will we take? The devil is already defeated, but we will not experience victory in our lives unless we continue to conform our lives fully to Christ, including following his example of how to overcome temptation. But what if temptation has overcome us and we have sinned? Is it too late? Do we forsake being overcomers with Christ? The devil would have you think so. The devil would have you think that you are now compromised. And how dare you even think that God could use you as a witness to his love and mercy? But even at that point, even if we've allowed temptation to overcome us, we can still be overcomers because even when we have been unfaithful, God is faithful. And it says in 1 John chapter 1, if we confess our sins, God is faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we can be even overcomers with Christ, even if we have failed. This week, let us consider, if I want to be an overcomer with Christ, I need to walk freely the path of obedience. I want to listen to the Lord's teaching. I want to put it into practice. I don't want to put the Lord on a timetable. If it doesn't work in 3 days, I'm done with that. But I'm going to trust that however long it takes, it's going to provide a fruitful life for me. It's going to help me to be stronger. It's going to help me to be more loving, more wise, more just, more merciful. Because I'm on God's time. His timing is perfect. And now together let us profess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe.